Prepare to be blown away by Ben and Ralph. Dharma Wars begins in T-minus 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42.
Starting with
it's a mystery, and so is the Dharma Lars podcast.
What?
That's right.
Hey guys,
what's going on? It's me, Ben,
and Ralph,
and producer Ryan on the couch, bringing to you the only
that's
podcast.
Not a couch, stupid.
That's right. I don't even know where I was coming from on that.
It's a bed
that has nothing to do with the couch. Maybe I was trying to fool them at home.
Oh,
and I was hoping you'd back me up on that one.
Nice couch. People are going to think I sleep on a futon now.
Everyone thinks that you got in trouble with Stevie. And now we're recording in the living room.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
What's going on, guys? What's up? How was your week?
Pretty dope.
It seems awesome. How many days of jury duty were you at?
3 days.
Hooray!
7:30 to 5.
Every day?
Yeah.
They didn't let you loose?
I think it was 8:30 to 5 one day and 9 to 5 the other day.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
was it at the big courthouse?
Yeah, the big one.
That's awesome. That
Superior Court. It was a murder case.
Right.
From 5 years ago.
And you were called to be a member of the justice.
I was called to sit and watch them pick jurors.
And then you left.
And then I left.
Did they even get to ask you questions?
Nope. They sure didn't.
Wow. Hooray.
Yay.
What else, though? We saw Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
TMNT, Mother Effers.
Yeah. That was all right.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
A lot of fun.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do?
Well, you know.
It's Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, it's exactly. And we went to Disneyland after that. That was fun.
Yeah, just that was unexpected. We just went to Disneyland.
Just packed up.
Just shot on by. Ryan has had 7 more days to sign people in with his employment there.
To a major Southern California theme park.
Disneyland. And... We went on the Pirates of the Caribbean, the Haunted Mansion, and the monorail.
Yeah, home. That was a quick trip.
Yeah, it was very cool.
We spent more time at Acapulco getting dinner than we did at Disneyland going on rides.
Yeah.
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 I want to tell you guys a story about what happened when I left here yesterday while you were editing and posting.
Last week. Got it. Go.
Did I say last year?
You said yesterday.
Oh, Jesus. I got to get on my A game.
Get off the couch and
get
to
work. The couch and get into this podcast.
All right, go.
As I was leaving your apartment complex, I happened across a gentleman who decided to urinate into the bushes.
Yay!
He was standing there, broad daylight, pants down, like not even a zipper action, which was what I would do if I was urinating in public. Pants down around his ankles, pissing right into the bushes outside of the pool.
Outside of the pool? Oh, on the other side of the wall.
Yeah.
Okay.
Out next to the street.
Because there's no welcome to our ool.
Yeah.
So yeah. That guy must have read the sign. He did, it said, and then there's a sign that says, welcome to our planters.
Yeah, because there is pee in it.
Yeah.
You guys should get that stuff that you put in your bushes that turns it red if someone pees in them.
Roses?
Yeah, that's right. That's where roses come from. Urine.
Oh, Jesus Christ. No, really I'm good. Mentioning it. I'm mentioning it. Ryan, producer Ryan.
Just produced. Who's
laughing as normally. Just produced something from his butt.
I wonder if he had to pre-mix that one.
Produced a fart. The Dharma Lars quality.
That's right. That's what we bring.
Laugh so hard, you laugh out your hiney hole. Speaking of hiney holes, I sent you a message while stuck in jury duty. Thanks to everybody for text messaging me back while I was in my personal hell.
Jeez.
Amy had mentioned on the blog spot that everyone was gearing up for Lost by doing a Brazilian name generator for their own name.
In honor of Paolo, the and Brazilian Tom Cruise.
I had
Cruise.
Mentioned that we had named our buttholes.
Yes. And apparently, I mean, this was a while back. We decided it was important to have names for your buttholes.
It had been like 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And apparently Andy has something to say right now.
Yeah, Well, either Andy or Steve.
Is it Ryan that has two buttholes?
Ryan has two butthole names. No, Orlando is Ralph.
My butthole's name is Orlando.
He has four teeth.
He has four teeth and eats meat.
Ryan decided to give himself a second butthole name because he had an enchirito at Taco Bell, and he determined that it had ripped him a new one.
So Andy and Steve.
So, yeah.
Ryan's butthole's name.
Talking back and forth to each other. I wanted to mention that we were naming our fists in honor of 30 Rock recently.
I didn't name mine. I think you named yours, and then Stevie named hers. I never named
mine.
Well,
we were trying to give Stevie names, but she said that because they were doing Irish fist names on 30 Rock, and I went with Marty McFly and Brian Doyle Murray for my fists. But Stevie was like, Stevie said she's Mexican and Austrian.
Okay.
So it was tough. We said, I don't know, Pancho Villa and Mozart? I don't know. Whichever one of those composers.
I never understood the concept of fist names.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What is that?
Because I don't understand. I don't know why.
Oh, you don't understand it? I guess.
Where did it come from, and why do people?
You know, the first time I even noticed it, I think was
Anchorman. Yeah, I don't.
And after.
So is it just random? Is that the thing?
I don't know if there's a basis for it other than Anchorman and an episode of 30 Rock, but it was hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, naming buttholes is obvious.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
Everybody has butthole names.
Yeah. I think everyone out there could send us an email with their butthole name instantly.
Yeah.
Typing with their butthole if necessary. What else? What do we got going on this weekend? You're going to go see Blades of Glory with me?
Probably.
I'm thinking about seeing The Lookout if I get a chance.
All right.
Because, you know, I like that Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Well, I'm busy on Sunday, so.
No, what are you doing? Jury duty?
Yeah. instead of talking about our plans this weekend,
okay.
There's big news today.
Well, tell us.
We're the podcast.
Tell everyone.
It's a big podcasting thing, and you probably already read it in the info, but today is Ryan's last day producing the Dharma Lars podcast.
Aww.
Yay!
Oh, yay! So long, sucker.
Big news for the podcast.
Don't let the podcast door hit you.
Where the good Lord split you twice. This is producer Ryan's last
show producing for us for a while,
yeah,
at least a while because he will be moving.
He's moving to an island off of the coast of California known as Catalina.
It's smaller than Alcatraz
but bigger than the other's island.
That's right. So it's in between the two.
Yes.
So actually I think it'll help give him a unique perspective. I hope he stays in touch on email because I think he can understand Lost a lot better.
I'm sure he's still going to be present on the blog spot. And
yeah.
The main thing that's going to be different about our show
is
the farting on my couch.
A.K.A. Ben.
A.K.A. Ben.
It'll be farted on slightly less.
And the giggling.
Yes.
And Ryan is beat red right now.
I'll miss him because it helps to have someone that's listening to help me know what I'm saying.
Well, in order to do the show, I'm assuming that there still needs to be someone to check the sound levels. Is that correct, Ryan?
Yes.
He says yes.
Okay.
But even beyond that, I need someone to be listening to check my talking levels. Like,
well, yeah, that's
I'm
the thing
sense.
Is, even though producer Ryan won't be the one on the bed, there's going to need to be somebody there.
There will.
So,
right. So you've left a mighty big bed to fill.
My bed.
Ralph's bed.
I've filled on several occasions with my pee-pee.
Oh.
I would say that, Ryan, because it's true.
And because you're sitting on it.
Okay. So
thank you. Thanks for being with us every step of the way.
Thanks, Ryan. Thian.
Oh.
What
a fitting tribute.
Now there's more tribute later on.
Yeah, but
what do you say we get to Lost?
Yeah, let's talk about that show, Lost.
Lost, Lost, Lost. It is fun. Lost, Lost, Lost. Here it goes.
And even Lost in the Sun or everyone? Expose.
Your boobies.
We wish. Was that 3x14 or 13?
That was 3x14.
14, guys. We're getting close to the end.
We are.
And what a fitting time, because after that episode, let it end.
It was so good.
It was so good. That's exactly what I was saying.
Ben and I did something this week that we rarely do, which is discuss the episode before recording the show.
Yes, we talked about it for a couple of seconds.
And I really, 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 really have the opposite opinion that Ben does, which I liked it.
I did not like this episode.
And all those really, I think, apply to both of our opinions.
Both of our opinions. Well, yeah, I think maybe I really, really, really didn't like it. No, only like three reallys, but I think you really, 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 really liked it. So
yeah.
It's not exact opposites, but I did not like this episode, man. I did not like this episode of Scooby-Doo.
I will tell you why I enjoyed this episode of Lost and see if my points will persuade you. Have you watched it a second time?
I have not watched it a second time.
Then I will go through my notes, which is what I learned the second
the
time.
The second time you
and which
it.
Made me enjoy the episode even more the second time.
It was, go ahead. See if you can convince. I mean, I'm probably going to watch it a second time eventually, and we'll see what happens then, but I'm not happy.
All right, let me get through my notes.
Okay.
And actually, my first note has something that has nothing to do with the show.
All right.
It's like the cactus cooler
like
discussion
cactus
last
cooler.
Week. I was poking around on Feedburner, which is one of the many programs we use to get our show to you guys. And I was tooling around looking at some listener information, and we have a listener from Saudi Arabia, apparently.
Wow, that's
our
cool.
Show is downloaded in Saudi Arabia. So whoever is listening in Saudi Arabia, send us an email because we think that is cool.
That is really cool.
That's so
wide exposure.
Yeah. Speaking of exposure.
Expose. Sure.
Shake Your Rump started off the show.
Yeah, that's a cool song.
Jimmy doesn't mention this in his music segment, but he is going to look into it and mention it probably on the Monday episode. Nikki and Paulo's theme throughout the episode had the like five note horn piece from Shake Your Rump.
That's cool.
And I'd like to hear more on that from Jimmy.
They are the rump shakers.
They are the rump shakers. I'm assuming Paulo shakes his rump when he's trying to knock one loose from his butt.
Because he's
pooing all the time.
That and all they want to do is zoom, 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 zoom.
And
a boom boom.
Yes, I would.
Well, he wants to make a boom boom.
After watching the pole dancing appearing.
Yes, which made my pole dance.
A boom boom.
That should be
1 point for you enjoying this episode.
Yes, I did enjoy the hotness of Nikki. Her face is
hot. And hot. Cobra, huh?
Yes.
Did you have something else to say about her?
Her face, I was going to say that not that her face is hot. It is hot, but I don't know. It takes some getting used to. The sun is way hotter. But her face is kind of like a lion. Like a leonine face.
As a fan of Beauty and the Beast, starring Linda Hamilton, you should appreciate that.
That's true. She does remind me of Vincent.
What? Okay.
I'm pretty sure that was his character name.
All right.
I guess
you are a fan. I just made that up to make you look stupid. But
well, they have it. Never underestimate how nerdy I can be. Yeah, that was a good opening. But it weirded me out because it was like episode within an episode. Like it was edited as it was exposé.
They do that, you know, they do that a lot in fake TV shows.
But not Lost. So it threw me off.
Was it a one? No, there was edits.
I'm not saying it threw me off because it convinced me that it was real.
Maybe they had a multiple camera setup and they were just showing
were
you
doing
the
a
different
tracking
angles.
Shot.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Who knows?
You know, if they had just had that little icon in the corner of a record light to let me know that it was a camera.
But that was the whole thing. It was supposed to be a fake out.
It was supposed to be a fake out.
And which it didn't fake me out the slightest as soon as the Giacchino music popped in and it was super cheesy 80s.
Really?
Which
okay.
I loved it.
It faked me out while she was stripping or dancing.
Yes.
Exotic
dancing. Sweet. She's a stripper.
If we have any strippers out there, we don't want to offend them. Because we want them to send us emails.
Is there a PC? Is there a PC?
Yeah, I think exotic dancer. They, you know what? Most strippers are not.
They strip their
care.
Clothes from their
yeah,
body.
Most strippers don't care.
I'm a talker. I don't care.
Yes, you are.
I'm a podcaster.
Exotic talker.
Hell yeah.
We should get t-shirts that say exotic talker. Yeah, so that part didn't fake me out. But I mean, yes, the stripping part did fake me out. But once Lando showed up.
Billy D.
Which is another point. There's already 2 points that I should like the episode. Hot Chick and Billy D.
You love Billy D.
I do. Having problems with your podcast? You truly belong here on this island.
Cobra. He was Cobra.
He was the Cobra, yeah.
From last week's episode. And I did not pick up on that until my second viewing.
Which
that John Locke was watching an episode of Exposé.
Which he was watching about 4 years ago. And I wonder if the whole time it was a secret that nobody knew that he was the Cobra until Nikki's episode.
Maybe. Well, yeah,
which would be kind of cool.
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows?
I have no idea.
Until Kusiloff bring us Exposé on ABC this fall.
That'd be awesome. No, they put it on, on FX or some ABC family.
Okay, keep going.
The bulletproof breast. That was a cheesy line.
What? Oh, from the cook?
No. Paula was the cook, Labo.
Well, from the dude talking about the cook. Good point.
the producer of the show, Exposé.
Exposé.
He's all, I don't know, bulletproof breast?
That's right.
Because he was going to try to bring her back somehow.
And she was like.
And explain it.
Hello?
Which I'm going to make several points throughout this episode recap or reactions. Why Nikki and Paolo will return.
You think they're still going to come back on the show alive?
Because the producer won, and I just thought of this.
This is
says,
one.
We'll find a way to get you back.
Okay. Okay, that's one.
Okay, that's the first one.
We'll
I'm not going to do these
in
order, but it'll pepper it throughout.
Yes.
Now we get back to the island.
Okay.
Because enough about that whatever. Do you notice the ping pong paddles were made with tin cans?
Yeah.
Tops?
Yes, that they had like wedged into wood or something.
Yeah, did you say wood? Which is strange because they were able to find a ping pong ball.
A wiffle style ping pong ball, but I thought last time they had like paddles. Or were they still the homemade kind last time?
I didn't notice last time. I only noticed this time.
Yeah. But they were getting some practice in. That's cool.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
You can play ping pong. Fuck it. What else you got to do?
Yeah. Well, I was watching the episode the first time. Sawyer said, who the hell is Nikki? And I immediately thought that Hurley was seeing people again. Or maybe had thought Nikki was someone else. Like
Scott and Steve.
Like his vision of who she was wasn't accurate to what other people were seeing. Like Shallow Hal.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I liked Sawyer's reaction about that. I thought that was very funny.
I thought it was funny, too. But
kind of a fan service, but still
cool. As soon as I realized what was going on.
So she stumbles out of the jungle and dies.
Presumably. Yeah, she doesn't die. Well,
Arzt has spiders.
She wanders out of the jungle.
Okay.
A lot of awesome stuff happens. Then she dies in the last 30 seconds of the show.
That's a good point.
And here comes my awesome stuff that happened.
Tell me about all the awesome stuff, even though I watched the episode.
Here's one of the things that I didn't understand is she couldn't steal the key from the producer guy until she killed him. That was kind of a dick move.
He had to be dead.
She was a bitch.
I guess because then he would come looking for it.
I mean, she's pushing Paolo around a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, she tells him, you know, don't smoke in here. Ashes are evidence.
Which and she's right. When he was about to light up, I was like, how many? Those look like special cigarettes. How many like times has a special cigarette been a clue in some murder mystery?
Yeah.
What's funny
is Paolo's totally innocent in this whole thing and was totally talked into it.
Well, he may have been talked into it, but he still put poison in the dude's food.
Yeah, but he's...
totally innocent.
The only thing on his mind is being with Nikki.
Okay.
So I'm saying he wasn't thinking clearly.
Yeah. She was like a black widow.
Yeah.
It was the honey trap.
Yeah.
They pulled a honey trap on him, which is a con that, you know, Sawyer... Maybe they had something in common with Sawyer. And the show is full of cons.
Yeah.
And the conningest show. Yeah. James Con. Con!
James Con. promise me we won't end up like them. What'd you think of that line?
Freaking. You know what?
It's funny. Funny because you get to see, what, you hate Boone and Shannon now?
I don't hate Boone and Shannon, but they don't have to be over the top angry at each other out of nowhere, unjustified, just so you can be like, hey, remember how she used to be a bitch?
That's how they were in the airport.
Know.
That's what their relationship was in
like
the airport.
It was like a cartoon of Boone and Shannon.
Have you seen the other episodes?
Yeah.
That's how they were like.
I watched the show.
That's how they were like.
Also, a lot of people are saying that maybe Boone's gay because of Shannon's comment. I think that that's not necessarily the case. I think Shannon can make a comment like that.
Yeah.
Whether Boone is gay
or call
not.
You straight all the time.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
Doesn't mean it's so. But what I'm saying is, I mean, that's
it was
how
cool
their
to
relationship
see them.
Was.
It was irritating, but you're right, they were kind of irritating.
But that's the way they were
especially
in all of their
before the
in
flight.
All of their airport flashbacks.
Yeah, she was pissed that day.
Yeah, she was really pissed that day, and he didn't want to deal with it. He was fucking pissed with her.
Yeah, he was just taking her home,
and she was being a princess the whole time.
He was
like,
wearing.
Why can't we get into first class? Why can't I take this bag? Or she has like a million complaints
and
that
she,
day.
She outs Saeed's bag.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm fine with that. Do you think that Captain Stewart has anything to do with future episodes?
It's Captain Stewart.
Exactly. I noticed the over the PA in the airport, they were calling for a Captain Stewart.
Ooh.
Is that a TNG reference?
Maybe.
Who knows?
For those of you that aren't nerds, that means Star Trek The Next Generation.
Could I have misheard it and they said Seward?
As in
Adam Seward?
Adam Seward? Huh.
Cooper's, who knows? I don't know. It just I always tend to listen to shit like that, like on 30 Rock when you hear like the curtain calls or the
or what the funny sketches that there's rehearsing. Well, a lot of times people throw in like inside jokes or like production jokes.
Yeah.
Or because it like if you're bothering to make a recording like that, you might as well make something out of it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So who's Captain Stewart? We may never know.
We may never know.
I was talking to Jay via IM a few days before the episode aired, and I had mentioned that there's no validity to the story other than Jay saying that yes is true. But I said, wouldn't it be funny if Boone asked Nikki for a pen? And he totally did.
You're kidding.
No, I said that.
That's hilarious.
Because I had found out prior to the episode that Ian Somerhalder was in it.
Okay.
And they were going to have plane flashbacks. So I was like, it'd be funny if Boone.
Nice call, dude.
Was a throwaway. But I mean.
She didn't have a pen.
She didn't.
Which is just as well for Rose.
Yeah. God, can you imagine her now?
No, because we haven't seen her since SOS.
Yeah. One of the reasons I feel bad for Paulo, and I hope he returns. When he finally, like, there's the commotion of the plane crash landing. Paulo is really upset and can't find Nikki.
Yeah.
And when he does find her, the first thing she asks is, are the diamonds all right?
Yeah, exactly.
She's
cold-blooded.
She's a bitch. She's a bitch.
It's all about them stones.
Yeah. It's just one of those things that it's just like seems like her character is a
focused.
Bad person.
Yeah.
And she has yet to redeem herself.
So she doesn't get a chance to die yet?
Nope.
Echo didn't redeem himself.
But he didn't want to. He was set in his ways. There's no way I'm going to redeem myself, so fuck you, I spit at you.
But she
island.
Didn't get a chance.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's another little more pepper for our steak.
Yeah.
Mistake.
So this is something I thought was interesting. Paulo says, do you think it's a dinosaur? And Nikki says, it's not Jurassic Park, it's the South Pacific.
Right.
Isn't Jurassic Park in the South Pacific? Am I?
It's on Costa Rica, which is...
Coast. Okay.
Not South America? Yeah, South Pacific.
But it's in the Pacific.
But it would be but it's not the south
hemisphere.
Of the Pacific Ocean. It would be like the easternmost part of the Pacific Ocean. If
it's
even on
the south. Well, whatever. I thought it was strange.
No, westernmost. Fuck it.
I was just hoping that if her facts were not correct and they were in the South Pacific, or that Jurassic Park was in the South Pacific.
That maybe they
if
were
it doesn't
on,
rule out dinosaurs.
Maybe, you know what she didn't say? It's not Jurassic Park, the movie. So maybe they're in the same reality as Jurassic Park.
Ooh. That'd be cool. I'd be down with that.
It's not Site B, Paolo. Isla Nublar.
Oh, here's one of my favorite scenes from the episode, was that Arts comes back and Ethan,
yeah.
Which are two characters that showed up later. As part of the survivors of the crash, quotation fingers.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny to put those people in this episode with the whole, they were there the whole time.
Especially
just like
Arts.
In season one was, oh, Arts was here the whole time.
And now he's gone.
Yeah, and Ethan was here the whole time.
We just need a character we can blow up real quick. So.
Yeah, but to show that they were all those side characters that showed up
amidst,
you know, late in the game.
Have been
were
interacting
all doing
with each other.
Their own thing.
It was cool to see the parade of dead people.
Yeah.
That was interesting. Like, all the people that Nikki and Paolo ran into, we don't get to see too much anymore.
And then the Arch comes running through and he says, Boone stole the water.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's go check it out. I think it's the scene where Jack does the speech. We should all check that out. It's probably really important.
There's a speech coming up. Come on, guys.
Yeah, like he was definitely involved with just seeing that Lost play out. Like they wanted to be part of the audience of Lost
being
played out.
It was like Forrest Gump, the episode. Like, let's Photoshop Nikki and Paolo into important Lost scenes.
Awesome, man. We got to see, you know, other sides of, and we got some answers out of it.
Like what?
Like motivations for Ben and Juliet.
That was an interesting scene. That was, but it was
cool stuff happened in that scene. Stuff that we would have never known if Paolo wasn't there.
But it bugs me that they were there. That they found the hatch and
did they find
therefore,
it?
Yeah, they
didn't stumble across it because Ben says, "How come the door was left? How come the door is left closed? They've been there before. They monitor that place every once in a while."
I meant Nikki and Paolo found the hatch before Echo and Locke did.
Why does that bother you?
It just bothers me because it's like
they didn't tell anybody.
No. Well, that, you know, I'm over that. That no one on the island shares anything with anyone. It seems like so. I don't know. It seems like it's shoehorned in. Like, you know, I've already accepted this story with Locke and Echo, and now that story means nothing because these two randos found it already and decided to do nothing about it.
Well, Paolo wanted to do something about it. Nikki is focused on getting the diamonds, and she's pushing Paolo around. Yeah. So maybe we would have learned about it sooner if Nikki wasn't a stone-cold bitch.
But it just feels so bass-ackwards. Like, oh, here's the show that the way you accept it, but here's what really happened. And turns out we've been fucking with you this whole time, and we can throw these characters and put them wherever they want in whatever story, and you're just going to have to deal with it. Mm-hmm. What's that? Qui-Gon Jinn. Yeah, exactly. It feels so, like, retroactive. It's not seamless.
I don't know. I think something's going to come of it. I think there's going to be stuff that happens in the future that relates to all this.
Well, yeah, that's possible. It just bugs me how it was how everything came about.
I don't know. I think I was more upset with them finding the beach craft.
Yeah, that too.
But I guess that was the same scene.
Yeah.
But it didn't bother me. It didn't bother me at all. It didn't. I mean,
it bothered me. That's one of the things I had a problem with this episode.
I think it served Nikki and Paolo's story.
It's like all of a sudden you watch a Superman movie and it turns out that he doesn't have powers and Jimmy Olsen's been the one helping him the whole time, lifting him with his like telepathy.
You would love that.
I would love it. It's
you would totally love that. I know, but I understand what you're saying. I totally understand what you're saying.
When Ben and Juliet were talking, does Ben say something about putting the plane on top of the hatch?
I didn't catch that.
You saw it twice. It was like when they were leaving. It. Okay.
I didn't catch it.
I wonder.
But that's something to look up.
What do you think of Juliet? Like, I like how they were pretending to be these island people, and her hair is, like, curly.
Well, I have a feeling that maybe they had gotten in a different way.
Yes, definitely.
So, since they're not on the surface, they don't need to pretend to be anything else?
Okay, so her hair is just regular.
Yeah.
It's whatever her hair looks like when she's backstage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Darmalar's
hair.
Hair. You love it. 57 days ago. That's my only note. I'm not going to explain it, but people go back and look at when they say 57 days ago, and that's all I need to say about it.
Huh.
The pigs are walking. What does that mean?
It's he's referencing Animal Farm.
What? Oh, it's a book.
Yes. So you would never have heard of it.
I would never have heard of it.
And you know what? It is a very good book, and I didn't make the connection until someone made the connection.
And apparently the pigs are left out of the loop or something, and they're like,
the pigs
are like,
everyone else out of the loop. Oh, okay. Like, the pigs have a revolution.
Oh, okay.
Essentially. And they at first it's like the idea is man is bad and animals are good. Mm-hmm. You know, anything on two legs is bad, anything on four legs is good. But then at the end of the book, the pigs get so full of their own power that they start walking around on two legs.
Got it.
So it makes sense now that I know what he meant. But at the time, I was like, "All right, Arts, sounds good, buddy."
Well, he was just—I just took it as a burn that I just didn't get.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Wow, he's really selling this burn." I have some more pepper for you.
Okay, pepper it in.
Locke says to Paolo, "Things don't stay buried on this island."
Yeah. Yes, and there's been a lot of talk about that. That kind of line just sparked so much debate on the internet this week.
And I wasn't even available for that. So today, when I watched it again, I went on the Blogspot and was like, hey, guys, that's
guess,
what Locke
guess what
says.
Said.
Yeah. Yeah, Ralph. Thanks.
Yeah, we know.
Go back to jury duty.
I think that it can go many, many ways. I think that is the kind of thing.
Pertaining to this episode, though, I think it's a very important line.
But it could be an important line that already had its fill. Because there was already, you know, she found the diamonds. Or she buried the diamonds and they found them.
But that line's in there for a reason.
But that's what I'm saying is, I mean, it's reason doesn't have to be next week. That reason could already have happened.
I don't know. I think the way John said it, things don't stay buried on this island, is a definite. I think is a definite. Factor in their demise.
Everything that you're peppering in can also be taken the exact opposite way. Of this is like the writer's subtle nod to saying no, Nikki and Paolo are dead. You know, just they could be saying it ironically.
But I mean, there's. I don't know, but I don't think you can discount it. I mean,
it's entirely possible that it's just a sweet foreshadowing to next weekend when the opening shot is someone's eye covered in sand.
That would be cool.
And then a hand reaching through the sand.
Well, I still have a few more points, which we'll get to in a sec.
Go for it.
But I just think with all these points that
I think they're
really subtle.
How many of them?
I don't know. I don't have them numbered here.
One or two. No, I mean, one or which of... Is Nikki and Paolo both going to make it?
I don't know.
Okay.
We'll discuss that after I get through my notes because I have a lot, like a basic rundown of my whole theory on what's going to happen with them. Well, here's another point, which is a little bit stupid, but Desmond said, I saw her arguing with Sawyer right before she died.
So Desmond can see the future.
Desmond can see the future.
And he knows that she's dead.
He saw Charlie die.
Oh,
doesn't mean he was dead yet.
So did he see her? Well, we saw him see her.
If he sees the future, he would know whether Nikki is dead or not.
If she's not
dead,
brother.
But if she's dead, if she's not dead, then what he says has a whole different meaning.
He could be talking about
her getting into a really big argument about maybe diamonds before she gets shot in the head.
Yeah, that's true.
Who knows? That's just something for maybe that could. I'm saying that scene might come into play later if she's still alive.
I think you're right that there's a lot of ambiguity built into this episode, whether any of it's on purpose or what it plays out to. But you're right. There's a lot of both sides that are.
There's a lot of outs.
There's a lot of outs. That's right. There's a lot of outs that can make them look like clever and they planned it all along.
I don't know. We'll see. I just get to that because I really don't think there's a lot left.
Just
to
keep
have.
Going. I'm sorry. I've taken them in place by
my
place.
Note, but I'm saying the rest of my notes aren't that great. They missed Thanksgiving, and I drew a little sad face.
They did, and by now they must have missed Christmas, right? Oh, that is a sad face. It's been 84 days, and they landed on September 22nd.
21st. Yeah.
They definitely missed Christmas. It's like it's almost the middle of January, almost February.
Yeah. Did you think it was strange that Sawyer said thanks for nothing?
To who?
To Nikki, when he closed her eyes. Thanks for nothing, and then.
Yeah, I guess that is kind of strange.
Why would he say that?
Because she never gave him anything.
I guess, but he said it really somber.
Well, they had like that.
Is it because of her whole situation being dead that now? He's been exposed for Sun's capture?
Maybe.
He's just being a dick?
Like, she never gave him anything, and yet she has affected his life negatively. Thanks for nothing.
Nikki gets the diamonds in the end.
Yeah, all
they're
over
all
the
dumped,
end.
They're all dumped right on top of her. This is my last note before I get on the rest of this.
So she finally gets what she wanted.
Yeah.
And then it's too late to do any good.
Yeah. Well, she didn't open her eyes.
It's true.
So,
and people were saying, like, why did they notice that?
It was a split second.
People's eyes open after they're dead.
It was a split second. They just didn't notice.
Yeah.
They had been laying there for
8 hours.
8 hours.
Which, God, if they had taken less time in solving the island mystery, then we'd be more convinced that they're dead.
Yeah. did the smoke create the spiders?
No.
the smoke has what to do with this episode.
Was watching, maybe?
Was hanging out. It was definitely hanging out. We heard it.
I'm sure that we heard that.
We heard the fluttering of it.
Maybe they just thought that this was also a good noise for the spiders.
It's not the spider noise. It's definitely
the smoke monster.
It's definitely the smoke monster.
But I think it was just watching.
It was just hanging out?
Yeah. It's observed stuff before. Okay. Those spiders were actually spiders. I mean, they went through so much to give us that stupid cheeseball setup line from Arnst about how the spider's full of pheromones. Like, the spider's full of pheromones. That's why they were spiders, not the monster. Okay. But the monster was definitely there, based on that noise.
Yeah. But we needed the exposition of the spiders from Arnst anyways.
God, this fucking spiders.
But it's Arnst.
Arnst is paralysis.
Yeah, but Arnst is a fucking high school teacher. Listen to him talking about his stupid monsoons forever.
Well, no, I can understand.
And everything he said was some stupid, long, drawn out, retarded explanation for something that any other character could have said in 2 seconds.
I guess you're right.
It's just like, Arnst's character is a know-it-all douchebag. That's
they gave
all
the
he
line
does.
To the right guy. But yeah. I think the plot device of having paralytic spiders on Lost Island. Just so cheeseball.
More cheeseball than them having a case full of guns?
Yes, much more.
More cheeseball than
because guns shoot
than
bullets.
Kate's horse?
What's that?
More cheeseball than Kate's horse or even like...
Yes, because Kate's horse is an enigma or possibly a horse from the other's camp where they have other horses.
But it's just, I mean...
But this is something where it's like, I couldn't even believe it in real life. I mean, it's like such almost a cliche in fiction is the paralysis that seems like death and how convenient it just happens to happen.
There's a lot of conveniences on the island though. There's a lot of things that happen that are 7-11. Like, oh, come on, really? Like,
yeah. The magic box theory.
Yeah.
And the universe course correcting.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know. And it's too bad that that it rankles at me so much because in the end, that was a cool ending.
Yeah.
Buried alive while you're paralyzed.
I mentioned this earlier to you that as far as fluff episodes go of Lost, I thought it was really well written.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the story was cool. Way better than the legit episode, which was Further Instructions.
Right.
It's way better
wasn't
episode.
Wasn't even meant as a fluff episode.
This was a good story, beginning, middle, and end. Great. Further Instructions didn't even finish up what it set out to do, which is Locke standing in a field... holding a gun at a boy.
Yeah.
It was just... what I'm saying is I thought it was a very good episode of television. There were cool questions that have been answered or things that have been resolved, such as the stuff from The Long Con with Charlie and Sawyer kidnapping son.
That was interesting. That's...
The Juliet and Ben stuff was interesting.
Yeah, and the walkie-talkie.
Yeah, just a lot.
Good setup.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in there.
There's some value in this episode, even how much I dislike it. There's some value in what it did to advance the plot.
I think their story was more interesting than Rose and Bernard's. Fluff episode that I thought
But that dealt with
ass.
The healing of the island and that someone else knew about Locke being paralyzed. Like, that one still had some stuff in it.
But that's it. I mean, what I'm saying is...
Yeah.
They gave us as much information in this episode that we wanted to know or wanted to see resolve that they did.
As they did in any other.
Any other of the fluff episodes.
Well, what's funny to me is that I generally like stuff where it's like, this is the backside of this. Like, I love Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. Or
we have a phone call.
About that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
From our friend Mike.
I love the idea of seeing the other side of water, so to speak. But in this case, I think it fell flat for me. Oh, you know I like the show, and you know I wouldn't randomly turn on it just because I think it would get me noticed. It's just that this episode I didn't like.
Okay.
So that's my opinion, and that's what I'm here for, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Looks like.
Here's some of my
things.
Hit
me with your theory.
Here's some of my things with why I think they're going to come back. I think the writers know that the fans generally don't like Nick Ampolo.
Which is not us.
I think the Darmalars, all four of us,
like,
are the only ones that have flat out said ahead of time, we enjoy Nick Ampolo.
Yeah, you know what? That's the thing is I have to say that me not liking the episode has nothing to do with it because it was Nick
Ampolo.
Do
you like Nick Ampolo more now? Do you want to see more of them now than you did prior to this episode?
I don't think you're getting how much I didn't like this episode.
I know, but
I'd be afraid that they would take it with
but
them.
But as people, do you like, oh, I wish that
I
enjoyed
like to
Paolo.
See more about Paolo, because I think he's an interesting character, the manipulated guy who,
he's probably,
and he's not very fleshed out. There's still a lot to learn about him.
Exactly. Do you think that maybe the writers may have used the sympathy of their death to get more sympathy from the viewers?
I think it's entirely possible that the writers decided, hey, here's a good way to take characters that we know are hated, mm-hmm. and yeah, exactly, give them sympathy, make people more interested in hearing more about them.
Yeah,
I think that could totally happen.
That could happen. I think they're gonna bring him back.
And you're right.
If not one, maybe one or both.
I think it's totally possible. I think there's enough. Like you said, there's enough foreshadowing. There's enough experience on the island.
There is a shot of Vincent uncovering pulling the blanket off them.
Because he knows.
Yet another thing where Vincent's known for digging up things.
Yeah.
And bringing Roger Workman's arm. I have a feeling that maybe with his dog senses may in fact help bring them back.
Yeah. And that's entirely possible. I think it would be kind of cheap because the one coolest thing about this episode for me was
that they died
alive. The grisly death at the end. Yeah. Like they was, I mean, and Jimmy has compared it to a Hitchcockian, and it kind of is because there are these people that are embroiled in this plot.
Yeah.
And if I could divorce it from Lost, if I didn't have all the problems that I did of like, here we are in this scene and here's us finding this. If I could divorce it from that, the general plot of girl and guy kill someone to steal diamonds, girl and guy lose diamonds, girl keeps forcing guy to find him, guy finds him but hides him because he's afraid of losing her, and at the end they're paralyzed and buried alive with their diamonds, that's a cool plot in general. And I think you take something away from that if they don't die. Not too much, and the episode itself will have to stand as it is because the next episode is the next episode, so you have to take them one at a time. But I it would make me slightly sad, but I would also like to learn more about those characters. But I'd also like to learn more about Libby or Desmond. And, you know, we're not going to get a chance at Libby, but, you know. So
they say, the producers have said many times, I think they mentioned at Comic-Con, once you're dead on Lost, you're dead.
And so these people aren't confirmed dead,
I don't think they're, right, as of right now,
they're still out.
They are alive.
If we're on,
from the exact moment that we saw them last, right before it said Lost, no time has passed.
That's right.
They are alive.
They're frozen in
time. They're buried.
They are buried alive.
They're buried alive.
That's a lot of sand.
But they are not dead yet.
And as long, I think we can resolve this next week if there's any shots on Fuselage Beach. Because if there's any shots next week on our beach and they're not running around trying to save them or them alive, I think by that point enough time has passed that they're suffocated.
Yes.
So we'll have to see you next week on Lost.
Yeah. What do you say we see what's next week on Lost?
Let's do it.
Got it. Three X-15. Left Behind. Guess whose episode it is?
Juliet.
Our favorite.
Juliet?
No.
Ben Linus.
Kate. I know.
She's got what did Kate do?
She's gonna be running around.
She's gonna kill that dude that Locke was threatening.
I hope so.
Come up behind him and kill him. What did Kate do in Locke's flashback?
That'd be fun.
Would
you be pissed at that?
What's
if
that?
Kate showed up in
Locke's
flashback?
No, I don't think I would. Like I said, I always like behind the scenes.
What
stuff
if she
like
shows
that?
Up in all of Locke's flashback within her one flashback next week? She's at the Toys R Us.
You know,
she's at the box company. And she's
at the marijuana farm.
Yeah,
she catches him when Cooper throws him out the window.
The only thing I remember from the promo is that we get a wet t-shirt
brawl.
Yep.
Yeah, it looks like Kate and Juliet are handcuffed together, and Kate is apparently trying to escape or something.
Wow.
And it also looks like Kate's wailing on Juliet from the promo.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
to me is like she knocked out Jack cold with one punch. Sure, he was dehydrated and hungry, but still.
What I'm looking forward to, if they are handcuffed together, if there's anything I learned from Shanghai Noon, is that wet cloth break bar. And if those ladies are tied together and they have wet shirts, uh-huh. they might be able to tie it around the handcuffs and bend
but they might,
the handcuffs off.
They might have to take their shirt off to try that.
And if I remember from the movie correctly, wet bra also bends bar.
Oh, wet bra will bend my bar. Wait, that doesn't sound good at all. I mentioned on the Blogspot that I had a theory about why Kate seems to be getting the upper hand in that brawl. And I think it's because she has her right arm free and Juliet has her left arm free.
Ah.
And maybe they're both right-handed. Because otherwise, I mean, Super Kate, yeah, she's pretty awesome, but Juliet, I think, has shown that she's still got skills.
Yeah.
So that's next week on Lost. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Keep an eye out for that scar on Juliet's back. See if the continuity person is on the case.
Yeah, he's sitting there staring at a Cadbury egg before applying it every week. All those gestures, like they can see that at home.
You make so many gestures. You talk so much with your hands.
And it's funny because I don't normally. Just when I'm recording a podcast.
Any more thoughts on next week's episode?
Not on next week's episode specifically, no.
All right, what do you say we get to Jimmy?
Let's do it.
Jimmy, let's shake our rumps.
Hello everyone, it's Jimmy in Seattle here. I don't know about you, but I'm going to miss Nikki. I was always a huge supporter of Nikki and Paola, actually. A lot of people know that. I didn't think they were going to kill them off, not both of them. I was surprised. Anyway, this is called The Lost Score, but why not throw in the Lost soundtrack? We're listening to Rump Shaker by Rex and Effect. I don't think that was a stunt double. I will tell you one thing, though, I did enjoy about the episode. Well, I'm kind of mixed on the episode itself, actually. That's another story altogether. I mean, I think I might as well get it out now. I wonder if they were just trying to wrap up a couple of loose ends in a very blunt way. I mean, basically, the purpose was served to do A, wrap up the Sawyer Soon Charlie kidnapping, which I thought was done very lightly, and then throw a little exposition onto the fact that Ben was genuinely planning to get Jack to do the surgery, and you know, a little bit of a reveal there. And I suppose they were sort of saying, well, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, everyone has secrets and stories on the island, and there's a perspective that people don't know about. I guess that worked, but I'm not sure if I liked it. I did like the fact there was a Hitchcock-type murder mystery going on. I thought it was kind of fun. It was like the Lost Halloween episode, I guess. We're now listening to the opening moments when Nikki runs through the jungle. Talk about Hitchcock. Of course, we were always talking about Bernard Herrmann. You can hear a slight similarity here with some Bernard Herrmann. This isn't actually from a Hitchcock film. This is from Francois Truffaut's Fahrenheit 451. But it's not so much the rhythms and the pacing are similar, but also the richness of the chords. Now, I know this is really depressing to listen to and irritating, but try and listen to the music in the background. You hear what I mean with the so straight. It's hard to listen to, I know. Sorry about that.
Hey, hey! Get away from there!
Oh, it's engine guy. Oh, bloody hell.
I gave all the right answers. Wasn't it wonderful?
So I'm sorry about all that noise. I thought I'd relax us a little bit after all the carnage of the crash. But once again, this is also Bernard Herrmann in the background from Fahrenheit 451. This is one of the main themes that permeates that film. The reason I'm playing this music in particular is simply because we reference him so many times, and we're always referencing Psycho scores. If you want to know what we're talking about, just download every other episode. There's almost certainly a soundbite. I just thought I'd do something a little different. Of course, this is actually, to be honest, it's one of my favourite classic sci-fi films. But, I've always noted it for its musical score. There were also a couple of instances in this episode where there were some accents used that we've kind of brushed on in the past, but we do have a couple of good examples. They also fitted in nicely into this whole murder, caper, diamond heist genre that we dipped into last week. I'm going to give you an example. Here's the moment when Nicky and Paolo went to the waterfall in order to retrieve the bag. Now listen to the deep, swirling cello. This is a very common accent.
Let me ask you something.
What?
If you didn't need me to find that bag, would we still be together?
That bag is worth $8 million. Just dive in, Paolo.
There. Oh, and there's that incredible dive, by the way. How majestic. I don't know why I couldn't just swim out. I'm going to touch on this scene a bit more next midweek show, actually. But here is a good example of the same technique used. This is Howard Shaw, The Fly. Never arm wrestle a fly. Sounds familiar. You see how it's used there, though? That's actually a great film to check out on DVD. Very good music in there. But it's always used to denote danger or distrust. Every time. Also, do you remember a couple of weeks ago we mentioned John Locke?
I'm not looking for Jack. I'm looking for the submarine.
It's the violin at the end I'm referring to, and of course, we had something very similar in the final moments with Nicky and Paolo. Their burial whilst alive.
Thank you.
Shout outs as always to the fans, to our friends, to Ralph, Ben. Thanks very much, producer Ryan. You've done wonders for us. Good luck, mate. This is Jimmy. Be good. Namaste.
Namaste. From Seattle. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks, amigo. Can't wait for Monday's show.
Yeah.
Download that on the Darmalars feed for those of you listening on the LPN.
Yeah, exactly. Switch to the Darmalars feed and you get an extra little piece of Jimmy every week.
Which I appreciate because I love my Jimmy pieces.
You eat them. So,
I thought you had something to say.
I do. I want to talk about a caller that called in last week.
Go for it.
She called in from New York, and I realized that I kind of dodged a bullet. What's up?
Okay, I know what you're going
to
say.
I realized that I kind of dodged a bullet because I did kind of, I tried to go to the whole, hey, maybe Claire's being a bitch because it's her time of the month thing. And I really am surprised that I get as much flack as I thought I was going to, because that's not the kind of thing that normally you get away with. But she brought up the good point that if Claire's constantly breastfeeding, and that's the only way they're feeding Aaron, except for all the solid food that apparently he's eating from Uncle Son and Aunt Jen. strike that. Reverse it. She pointed out that if Claire is breastfeeding, that that would delay her returning to her menstrual cycle, which I didn't know, and that's interesting. And it also would explain rapid weight loss. So there you go.
Okay.
Claire lost all that weight because she's breastfeeding. And all we need is one shot on screen to explain it.
Maybe next week while they're fighting.
Just to justify. And she dyes her hair black. Real quick, she dyes her hair black. Then Kate and Juliet are fighting, and Claire walks up breastfeeding.
Uh-huh. Sorry, I just heard a helicopter outside. I didn't know if it was coming from outside or if it was coming from the bed.
It's coming from the bed. It's the Tron helicopter. It's angry at us for making fun of it earlier.
That wasn't recorded, but
so we still made fun of it.
Okay. So anyway, let's give out the information.
Okay.
Quick. Dharmaline 206-338-4261. Call us anytime for the You All Everybody segment that plays at the end of each show.
Give us a call. Let us know what you think about Lost or anything.
Or what we have to say about the show.
Yes, us. Yeah, call us about us.
Yeah.
Fuck Lost.
Darmalars@gmail.com. If you are shy and you do not want to talk to us over the phone, that is how you can get in contact with us via email.
Like to hear from you.
Darmalars@gmail.com. Be our friends on myspace.com/darmalars.
We have like 360
friends.
Oh my
God. This past week, it's been insane. You guys, keep it up. Be our friend. Be Ryan's friend. All the Darmalars and the friends of the Darmalars are on our front page.
Yep.
Not all the friends of the Darmalars. Because they don't allow us to do 360 people. But
not yet. But maybe some movie will come along. And
but, you know, Amy and Kim, Craig and Dylan, and the Lost Initiative, the Lost Chicks, Jay and Jack, Stevie, Becky, all of us are...
Only the most important people.
All the people we reference to on the show.
That's right.
Everyone's
important.
Visit our blog, darmalarspodcast.blogspot.com.
Yeah, that doesn't get as much action as the other one.
I know. And it was funny because part of the week for Jimmy's Monday show, the comments weren't even enabled. So that was strange. But we do hang out at scottandsteve.blogspot.com. That's where we tend to post most of our talkbacks on the episodes.
Yep.
And just hang out and talk.
That's right.
Shoot the shit.
That's right.
The Darmalars podcast blog is essentially for us a thing of necessity. As soon as I post our info up on there, it goes directly to iTunes.
So that's how it works.
So anything you see me type up there as info, you'll see is...
in the description.
Yeah, on iTunes. Spelling errors and all. So anyway.
It's not a spelling bee, all
right? That's our info. You could read it right now on your screen, but in a minute, that's going to change because we are going to be talking about producer Ryan. Before we get to the You All Everybody segment, there is a tribute to Ryan, which Ryan did not know about before this recording. Well, maybe minutes before.
Like seconds before, but it didn't influence his recording at all.
I set up a super secret phone line so Ryan wouldn't see him on the voicemail Gmail account.
Super secret. We'll have to change that to something different now.
Yeah, I don't know what.
We'll have to come up with something.
Well, it's linked to my personal email, so it should be the We All Love Every Ralph.
We All Love Every Ralph.
And it's just if you want to do comments to me, then I will listen. I'll get those on my email. But Ryan has been here since our very first recording
almost a year ago.
April 24th.
Last year.
That's 424. For those of you guys still high from 4 days earlier. And without him, we couldn't do the show.
That's for sure. Well, I guess we'll find out next week.
But we are going on next week.
Without him, we couldn't do the show.
We'll have to use a different computer. We'll have the same equipment. I'll put up all the same stuff. It won't sound any different except for the laughter.
Yes.
Person. Which is funny because, you know, Ryan let me know, you know, prior to last week's show that this might be it. This week's might be the last show. We posted our episode and someone put, "Can someone shut up that guy giggling?" And I thought it was Ryan that put it because it was posted as anonymous. And I thought it was funny. So I, you know, gave Ryan a call. Was that you that posted, "Get rid of the giggling guy"? And it turns out it wasn't him.
He's trying to leave himself an out.
Yeah.
He's trying to write himself out.
It was like our old episode where...
Where I was supposed to pretend that I was mad.
You were mad because you weren't going to be on the following episode.
Yeah, exactly.
So...
it was a Dharma Lars happening.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand. Like, who just out of the blue gave shit for Ryan? But
it doesn't matter.
Fuck,
people have their
fuck
opinions.
Anonymous. That's all I got to say. That's my
stance. No. He's our favorite poet.
I never got that joke. What
because
that
like you always see like quotes and poems attributed to Anonymous.
Oh, okay.
So if someone
as me not being a reader,
right. You're not a reader, but you are a reader.
But I can't thank Ryan enough, and he is moving to Catalina.
26 miles across the ocean.
Across the sea, Catalina.
That too.
Santa Catalina is waiting for me.
Yes.
Most, actually, Ryan.
That's from Route
66.
Most people don't know that. That's from Route
66. It is an island off the coast of California. It's the city of Avalon, and it's a mile square.
He'll be living there using his fingers.
Yeah. But he'll still be present as far as the emails go and the MySpace goes and all that other good stuff.
Because they have the internet there now.
Yeah.
I heard. Yeah. They have the internet on computers now.
Yeah, Gilligan's on an exercise bike powering that.
He's got a mouse made out of coconut.
So the only thing that's going to be different with the show is probably the runtime, because Ryan usually keeps us in check when it comes to us talking too long.
That's true.
And not this week, because we had a lot to say. And also, he is, you won't hear the giggling.
I'm going to miss you, man, because it has been a good trip. Thank you.
It's been my pleasure. I've definitely had a good time joining you all. God damn, Ben, get away from me. Thanks to everybody. Thanks for all the support.
How does your level sound right now?
Actually, I'm not coming in too loud. I think you need to fix that post. I made a lot of friends. Jane, Jack, Amy, Kim, and a host of others. I hope to keep in touch with everybody. So thanks, and thank you guys for calling upon me to help you guys out.
Can you giggle into the mic?
I can't do it on command. Say something.
You can fart on my bed, but you can't giggle into the mic. Fart jokes.
Fart jokes gets them every time.
All right. So before we get to
back
the
back to the couch with you.
Before we get to the You All Everybody segment, we are going to have a special tribute to Ryan.
You All Are Ryan.
And that's going to be it for this week's episode, guys.
All right. Well, do you have a movie to go out on?
Oh, shit. Dre left a message saying I need to quote a Steve Martin movie.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Three Amigos. But I really don't know many three. I don't know really many three Steve Martin
other than movies. Three Amigos?
I don't know. I've never seen The Jerk.
You saw The Man with Two Brains. I made you watch that.
But I watched it once. I don't know anyone minors.
Okay. Father of the Bride.
Oh, I got one.
Okay.
But you're going to have to go along with me on this one.
Okay, I have to be the other guy?
Yeah, okay.
Get your editing figures ready, Ryan.
No.
Okay, well,
You'll be able to take my cue.
Okay, that's it for us here at the Dharma Lars. So yeah, we'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks, Seattle Jimmy. Thanks, and goodbye, producer Ryan. And for everyone else out there, Lost La Vista.
Excuse me. May I go to the bathroom?
Yes.
Thank you.
Also the Muppet movie. Would you like to sniff the cap?
Oh, that's a good one.
The bottle cap. Would you like to sniff?
Dre, I'll do that one next week.
All right, you guys. You all Ryan.
You all Ryan, and then you all everybody else.
Producer Ryan, please don't move to Catalina and leave the Darmalars. We all know you're the real brains and handsomeness behind that operation. Sincerely, Amy and Little Rock. P.S. Seriously, though, we will all really miss you. You helped rock this podcast to stardom, and your absence will not go unnoticed, my dearest giggle monster. Take care of Aaron and keep in touch with us. Namaste, biatch.
Hey, Producer Ryan, it's Holly in Memphis. Yes, y'all can all make fun of my hick accent now. We're going to miss you and your infectious giggle. I'm hoping that Ralph and Ben and you will record your giggle and it can be inserted at appropriate moments in all future Darmalars episodes. Have a great time in Catalina. I have to say I'm very jealous that that's where you're going to be and I'm in Memphis. Later, guys. Bye.
Hey, Producer Ryan, it's Jimmy. I'm going to miss you, mate. I'm going to miss you. Who's going to fix my volume issues? Who's going to improve my diction? I don't know. Good luck. Hope all's well. Been a great ride, and thanks for all your help. All right, mate. Take care.
Hey, Ryan, it's Mike from the boards. I just wanted to leave a message and say that we're going to miss you, and I personally will miss you a lot because, you know, a lot of people talk on the boards about shows like Arrested Development and The Office, but I just don't really understand those shows because it's missing a laugh track. And since you came along to the Darmalars, I've been able to understand what's funny and when to laugh, and but without you, the show will be missing a lot. So I wish you well in all your endeavors and hope you return to be special guest starring every now and then in the Darmalars so I can know when to laugh. Thanks for that wonderful asset. Bye.
Hello, this is the Biggest Crinkle calling from actually the Disneyland Resort right now. Hey, I would love to talk about Lost, but instead of that, I have just got to publicly state that Producer Ryan is making a huge mistake by leaving and going on this trans-Pacific relocation to Catalina Island. This is just ridiculous. He should not go. I don't know why you guys aren't telling him don't go. I think I'm the only voice of reason that's out there saying, hey, Ryan, don't go. So very unfortunate. So now I have to take this to, you know, such a public forum by saying, Ryan, big mistake, don't do it. Anyways, the show is pretty good. I think that even though it was a ripoff of an old Alfred Hitchcock Presents, I think. Like the use of the Medusa spider, that was fun. And nothing like seeing Arndt not being blown up. That's good times too. Okay, so I think that's it. Once again, Ryan, don't go. I don't understand why you're quitting Disneyland. It's not like they didn't give you Thanksgiving off. Oops, sorry, Ralph. Okay, catch you guys later. Bye.
Hello. Yes, this message is regarding Producer Ryan. I would just like to say farewell. It's been a pleasure.
Hey, Ben, Ralph, and Ryan, this is MB from the boards calling to wish Ralph, calling to wish Ryan farewell. And just to say, you know, Ryan, be honest here, man, did they like downsize your ass out of there? Because, no, don't be afraid to, you know, file for for some unemployment benefits. Make those bastards pay, okay? No, in all seriousness, your laugh will be sorely missed, and I hope you are happy in all your endeavors. Take care.
Hey, this is Elise from Portland, Maine. Just calling to say that one of my favorite parts of the Darmalars was listening to producer Ryan laugh in the background. It cracked me up. I mean, Ben and Ralph are funny and everything, but Ryan really made the show, and it really bums me out to hear that this is producer Ryan's final show. So good luck with whatever it is you're doing, Ryan, and thanks for making the Darmalars great.
Hello, producer Ryan. This is Kimberly calling from Toronto, one of the lassies from The Lost Initiative. Just wanted to say, I'll miss your laugh. We'll all miss your laugh. Aww. It's so sad. An end of an era has come. I drop my tears. What else can I say? Keep laughing, and good luck to you and all that you do in the future. Oh, my God. Bye. Ralph, Ben, you guys rock. Ryan, you should appreciate this. Your buddies are putting this together. Bye. Enjoy. Peace, guys.
Hello, Ralph, Ben, Jimmy, and Ryan. We are here to say goodbye to the wonderful, amazing...
Now it's time to say goodbye.
...to all our company. Especially Ryan. Which is, that's kind of fitting because he did work at Disneyland for a million years.
Yes, he did.
But,
For a million years.
A million consecutive.
A million years.
Beat Lou, not Lou Gehrig. Who's the other guy? Cal Ripken. He beat Cal Ripken. And funny enough, Ryan does look a little bit like Cal Ripken Jr.
Really?
Did you say that?
Yeah.
You look at Ryan?
Sure.
All right.
I think they're twins. The bad twins.
We just want to say goodbye to the best Lost podcast producer on the internet, Ryan.
He's definitely better than you.
Exactly. We're gonna miss you, buddy.
We're gonna miss. You know what we're gonna miss most of? That little laugh.
That laughter. It was just. It's one of the.
It's
many,
contagious.
It's yeah. It's one of the many things that really made your show unique.
We're not sure
and
what
special.
You're laughing at, but we go with it.
It's really just thanks for letting us know when to laugh.
Yeah.
Because it's like...
You're like a 70s sitcom.
Because it's Ralph and Ben are so funny. It's like, was that supposed to be funny too?
Yeah.
And just in case, when it's like, am I supposed to laugh there? Ryan lets us know it's okay to laugh. So...
What am I going to do now?
Exactly.
How am I going to listen to Darmalars?
I don't know. Whoever they're getting to replace Ryan, he better have an awesome laugh. Because if he doesn't, I'm telling you right now, I'm quitting the Darmalars right now.
Wow, really?
Not really, but I figured I was trying to make Ryan feel better, Jack.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm trying to keep up, but it's late. I'm old.
Well, we just want to say, we've really enjoyed your infectious laughter on the show. We're gonna miss it. We enjoyed your amazing producing skills, and
just think how much better our podcast would be
if Ryan was producing.
Exactly.
Totally agree.
Not taking a shot at you.
Of course not. But we'll miss you. Hope you enjoy Catalina. Can't really blame you.
Get your golf cart picked out.
Podcasting Catalina.
You got it with Catalina.
hopefully, we'll see you at the Comic-Con.
Yes, with the Western Bacon Cheeseburgers and Jack in the Box Tacos. All the good stuff at Comic-Con.
In-N-Out Burger. And,
no. No. I can't imagine anyone that... No one likes In-N-Out.
Yeah, okay. We'll see you guys later. Take care, Ryan. And Ralph and Ben and Jimmy, until next time, hasta luego, and goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, what's up, Ralph and Ben? This is Dre. I'm just, I didn't know if you guys could do a quote from Steve Martin. any Steve Martin movie or whatnot. He's funny as shit. That's it. All right. Hey, what's up, Ralph and Ben? This is Dre calling out of L.A. once again. All right, so this last episode, you got Ben telling Locke that he can, that what if he had a box, and in this box, again, he can make anything appear and all this other crap or whatever. So I'm thinking about, okay, if it's either two ways, if he's lying or if he's telling the truth. Now, if he's telling the truth, then that explains, of course, how Locke's father is there and all that crap. But if he's telling the truth, who's to say that they can't wish back anybody? That's why, what's that chick name, Chloe or Cleo or... whatever the hell, the black chick, and why she went off, or they don't really care about death and all this other stuff because they know they could be wished back. But what if, if they being able to wish back or whatever, then it's like their lives are meaningless, they know that. But if he's lying, then you have the whole situation of how did they get Locke's father on the island and why would he be subdued, okay? That's the damn thing. It's not the fact that, now, I would believe Ben if he would have had just popped up and the father was in behind the door, but they got him tied down or something, like he's been waiting there and he's pulling the... a damn rabbit out of his ass or something. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I don't know. It's weird. It is really weird. And I guess all I got, I did my best. That's it. Later.
Hey, guys. It's Casey. I thought I'd call and let you know about, this movie I saw today called Breakin', starring Shabadoo and Boogaloo Shrimp. Oh my god, what an amazing piece of cinema that was. It's also got Shooter McGavin from Happy Gilmore, so all the more reason to add it to your Netflix queue. Can't wait to hear the next show. Peace out.
Hey, Ralph and Ben, this is Jared from Missouri. I was giving you guys a call because I wanted to tell you my two stories about Lost that I think you guys would find very interesting. One being my best Lost story, and one being my worst Lost story. The very first story, I'll start off with the worst because, we'll start with the downer and end up, with the better one. The first one was one night I got totally blasted drunk by myself, and that night I ended up watching some episodes of Lost, and I watched the one where they launched the raft in the first season, and totally sat there drunk watching Lost by myself and crying at the end of the episode. Very sad. But then my better Lost story is a couple of, about a week ago, I had a girl over. We were definitely gonna, do it. And so I go to my computer to put some music on to set the mood. And what did I put on, guys? Well, I put on the soundtrack to Lost. I have both season 1 and 2. So I put that on, and we went at it. And she even noticed and laughed. And I just thought you guys would like to know that. So Ralph and Ben, you guys rock. Love the podcast. And long live Jimmy from Seattle. Bye.
Yeah, hey, this is Steve, shut up, go on, you don't know who I am, because I've never, I'm not a regular on the blog spot and shit like that, but I think you guys are fucking awesome, and I think Jack Daniels is fucking awesome. And yeah, I just wanted to say, you guys know your shit, and I'm on your MySpace because I got your number from MySpace, and right now I'm watching Jack strike a football over and over and over, and there it is. The Dolphins should sign him because our offense fucking sucks, and we need another receiver. He can catch the ball. Maybe Tom can play quarterback. I don't know. Boss is awesome, and so is Jack Daniels. Jack Shepard's cool too. Yo, chill out. Some asshole is grabbing the phone and, shut the fuck up. It's 11:30 and I have to work in 6.5 hours and I'm drunk and, I'm gonna go. I just wanted to call and fucking talk about Lost because that show is the shit. Alright, peace out, homies. Bye. Yo, this is Steve again. It's like fucking 15 minutes after the last call. And my buddy just fucking passed out, he's a bitch, and I'm calling you back because I just realized I wasn't even friends with you on MySpace, so I added you, and I added Ben, and I went to add Ralph, and I was like, what's his last name? And I'm like, fucking, I don't know, I just listened to you on the radio, I don't fucking hang out with you. I thought it was like Apple or some shit, so I tried Apple and that didn't work, so I don't know. But I'm just saying, if you saw, like, why didn't this guy request me? He requested everyone else. Just know I tried to and Apple didn't work. So, whatever. But if you want, I don't know, I'll do it. Gotta go. Peace out.
Hello there. This is the Frage, your number one Dharmatard. Calling about expose, or as I like to call it, don't fuck with spiders. It was a pretty interesting episode. Nikki was hot as hell as a stripper, though Billy D was much hotter. I mean, damn it, it's Lando, you know? He's awesome. Anyway, it's nice to see what Paulo was really doing all those times he went to take a shit. Though, it's a bit hard for me to believe that he knew about the others and decided to tell no one. You think you might mention that somewhere in casual conversation. So for that reason, they deserve to get buried alive. That's a fitting end. I didn't really care for him anyway, so kudos to the writers for that move. So next week looks crazy. Chick fights in the jungle, in the rain. I'm for it. All right, catch you guys later. Bye.
Yo, Dharma Lames, what's going on, guys? We just watched, this is Matt.
This is Steve.
And we just watched the what episode was that, Steve? What do they call that?
The full fucking shit episode. The Nikki and Paulo go crazy. Throw spiders at each other.
We just want to call shenanigans on this episode.
I call shenanigans. Totally, yeah. Shenanigans.
I think, yeah. I mean, yeah, some stuff, but total shenanigans. All right, Dharma Lanes, you take it easy.
Rose and Nikki and Gilbin Paulo are dead.
Hey, what's up, Ralph and Ben? This is Dre out of L.A. calling, all right? So I was sitting here on my lunch, and I'm thinking about the last episode, and I think I figured it out. I mean, screw all that noise I was talking about last time. I think I figured out how they're going to explain everything because of the last episode. Now, everybody's talking about a list, okay? A list. Now, what if this list was just the fact that they were looking for certain people? Like, they had the kids on the list because their parents wasn't on the plane, right? That's what I think that's what happened. They had Locke on the list because he wasn't supposed to be walking. So maybe he had, you know what I'm saying? Jack wasn't supposed to be on the list because, what if, remember he was rushing at the airport at the last minute. So what if they got his name and his dad's name mixed up so they was really expecting his dad to be on the plane and not Locke, I mean not Jack. That's why Jack wasn't on the list. Okay? If he was on the list and if Ben know everything about him, then why they don't know or haven't told Jack that Claire is his sister. You see what I'm saying? I think I figured out Lost. Okay, the whole thing with Desmond and whatnot, I guess they really did make everybody feel bad that didn't like Nikki and Apollo, because they're the only ones that know that Jack was going to be manipulated by Ben. And they had a radio. Well, I guess they got a radio out of it. That's good. But, yeah, as far as, like, the whole thing goes, I think that's what it is. That's how they're going to basically play it. Like, okay, see, the thing is, I think that, sorry to say, it was a different podcast. You guys listen to Jay and Jack also. They cool. So, Jack kept saying that the plane didn't crash, even though we've seen it crash, it was a stage crash. What if the thing is, like I said, Jack said that it was a stage thing. So what if that's what happened? It was staged. Yeah, they're going to deal with casualties because of that freaking lost experience. You know what I'm saying? I ain't going to say anything to people that didn't hear that. But the whole reason of people being in the island in the first place, well, you know, the stuff that we already pretty much know, I guess. I'm not ruining too much. But about them doing tests and stuff on people trying to change the code, the DNA and all that other stuff, genes and people. So, you know, that's my little theory or whatever, that they thought that Jack's dad, the head of surgeons or whatever the hell it is at the hospital, they thought that he was going to be on the plane. They didn't know that he died. They got the sons mixed up. Well, they got him mixed up, you know what I'm saying, with Jack. But it just worked out in the end. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's a whole thing or whatever. No crazy, wacky theory this time. I think I just, you know. Even if I didn't say this, I'm hoping I'm saying this before everybody else says it. I'm a storm and all that. All right, I guess I'm going to go on the subway now. All right, later.
Hey, Dharma Liars, this is Ryan in Minneapolis calling you. I'm in the midst of doing gorilla press molding of a Volkswagen bus that's parked out in front of my house. This is really fun. It's raining a lot, and but I was just calling in to say that the episode that was on last week, Exposé, was really, really sweet. I thought Lando Calrissian playing himself was ultra badass, and I want to know what you guys' odds of Nikki being able to get out of that grave are. I'm going to guess, like, 2%, 3%, maybe. Anyway, keep it up. Jimmy, you're pretty sweet, and the other two guys, the other three, they're pretty cool, too. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey guys, this is Kelly from Orange County, California. I just want to call in because this last episode was pretty awesome. I've tried hard not to get frustrated at the lack of information that they give you, but
Who ever thought that on an episode that's about two of the most random people, revealed more information than anything? So I thought it was pretty awesome. Kind of had everything you wanted. Boobies and Lando and pretty much, you know, death and scary shit and everything like that. Fuck me up, dude. I'm serious. Anyway, you guys are pretty cool, and I'll probably both, you know, I'll see you both tonight. And Ralph, sit closer to the microphone. Sounds like you've got balls in your mouth or something.
Yeah, sounds like.
Okay, so it's the biggest crinkle again. Hey, just wanted to call back because I didn't get to talk too much about Lost. Because I was just so distraught that Ryan's leaving. Bastard. Anyways, what I really enjoyed about this last week's episode is the fact that there were so many times where Nikki and, what's that guy's name, Paulina Porizkova, there were so many times where those two could have made choices that would have really changed the direction of the story. So if they had told people about the plane first, maybe Boone doesn't get killed. If they had explored, the Pearl Station, something different could have happened there. So they had all this information that they weren't sharing with the rest of the first 48. And by not doing that, we've seen how the show's taken a few different directions. So maybe they just got their what they deserved by not sharing and just focusing on the diamonds. Okay, that's it. Bye for now.